Welcome to Growth Marketing Today, where marketers, designers, and product owners level up their growth marketing chops from experts in today's top startups. Here's your host, Ramley John.
Hey, welcome to episode 40 of Growth Marketing Today. If it's your first time here, I am Ramley John, and I'm here on a mission to help marketers level up their growth chops from today's marketing leaders. Today, I have Roberto Braga. He's a CMO of the YC-backed startup, BX Blue, which is based out of Brazil. In this episode, Roberto talks about experience and greatest learning from the famous YC accelerator that has seen the likes of Dropbox and Uber and other things. He also talks about the exact SEO strategy that he uses. I really drill him on this and how he gained traction with this, how many articles did they do, how did they do keyword research, how did they get backlinks. So I'm really going to go in depth with how he did his SEO strategy for BX Blue. And finally, we talk a little bit about the future of marketing, particularly with video and why he's invested with video marketing for BX Blue. Now, if you're listening on this for a while now to Growth Marketing Today, please help spread the word out by giving me a review on iTunes and sharing this with anyone that you think might find this valuable. Anyways, I don't want to hold you back anymore. Let's jump in with my chat with Roberto. Hey everyone, all my Growth Marketing Today listener fans, I have somebody special today. I have Roberto. He's all the way in Brazil. How's it going, Roberto?
Hey, Randy, good to talk. It's great to be featured on the show. And yeah, I'm here in Brazil. It's kind of hot here today, so the classic Brazil up.
I can't complain. The weather here in Toronto right now, it's May, right? But it feels 2 degrees or 5 degrees Celsius. It is cold. It's just supposed to be warm right now, but man.
I guess we're in 25 here today.
You don't have to rub it in, man.
And it's and winter is about to start, so it's super hot.
Hey, I'm super excited to chat with you because a few things. You're CMO of this company, BX Blue. You were also part of the YC. That famous like incubator that Paul Graham started, like a lot of companies has gone through, like Dropbox. And we're going to be talking about SEO. We have so much to talk about, but before we get there, I love asking this question. Can you tell me a little bit about your career journey from now being a CMO of this YC backed startup? How did you get here, Roberto?
Sure, Remy. I'm an engineer. I got a degree in 2010. And before that, getting my degree, I started my first venture. It was called Eco2Box, and it was a hardware startup. We developed a hardware to measure how much electricity each device in a house or in an office was consuming. And it was a great experience overall. But we were very young at that time and very engineers, so it was hard to take it to the market. The product was awesome. It worked like a charm to monitor electricity consumption, and you could save if you look at the charts we were providing. But we never really get it to mass market. We just made a few sales. And the main lesson I learned doing Eco2Box was that it was very hard to get a product to the market. I was the CEO of the company, and I was doing every kind of tasks, random tasks. But as I was a fresh engineer, my favorite task was to work on the hardware or the software. Right. And we were not that close to the market at that time, but it was a great journey. It was a great experience, and it led to my second one, which was called Vidya, also a startup. And at that time, we chose not to make a hardware again, so it was kind of easier.
Software.
It was a software, and the main task the software did was to protect websites against hacker attacks. So we focused on protecting WordPress, Joomla, and other open source CMS against hacker attacks. And again, it was a great journey. We raised a little bit of money to do that venture at that time. And at that time, I was CEO again, and we noticed that the services related to the software were much more profitable than the software we were making itself. So we decided to make consultancy services and not the startup itself, the software itself. So it was great, but it was not a startup actually, because the consultancy services just grow, and we were paying bills that way at that time. And during this journey, I just noticed that my products, my companies were not working the way I supposed they would. So I just started talking to a lot of entrepreneurs, and I started organizing startup weekend events here in Brazil. I organized a kind of 30 startup weekends around Brazil. And at that time, I knew almost everybody that was starting a startup in Brazil after something like 2 or 3 years doing that. And Startup Weekend was the place I've met my co-founders, Fabricio and Gustavo Guga. So at that time, I knew that I had a good team to start something new. And when we were first talking about what we were about to start, what we were about to do, we just decided that we wanted to take a look at fintech in Brazil, because we have a huge population with not that good banking services. So it was our first decision to take a look at fintechs. And after that, we just decided to take a deeper look at loans, because it's a huge market in Brazil as well. And specifically loans for people who work for government. There's this specific kind of loan here in Brazil for people who have a pension from the government or who work for the government with very low interest rates and very long time to pay the installments. So this specific kind of loan happens offline today, and we just decided to take it online. And then BXBlue came to life. And at BXBlue, I just became the CMO, and I was in charge, and I am in charge of doing all the marketing efforts and bringing users to the platform. So I started using my previous experience in the other companies, my data experience, my security experience to bring users to the platform. And it has been great so far. And I really enjoy being a full-time marketer today.
Yes, that's exciting. It's exciting. You went from like one startup to the next, and now you're on this startup that seems like it's gaining a lot of traction in the Brazilian marketplace. So, like, from just hearing from you, it's you brought this whole like loan marketplace for loans in Brazil online, and you know, saw a lot of efficiencies with it, and that's how you started BXBlue. And what I'm really excited about this is that, you know, one validation of it is being accepted into YC, which is this incubator that thousands of startups try to apply to. I read somewhere that they only accept like 1% of the applicants. I'm sure that's like a lot lower. And, you know, like I mentioned before, a lot of big companies like Dropbox and other companies get into this. I'm curious what you thought about that whole experience. Like, how was YC, and like, what did you think about it?
Okay, YC was kind of a long shot for us. We've been consuming YC companies since our early entrepreneur days, but it didn't sound like something very close to us, because you know, Airbnb, Dropbox, all these huge companies have been there. So this is not for us here in Brazil. And there's this thing that YC doesn't like business. It's a myth, actually, that YC doesn't like business that only look for a particular country or a particular market. And the myth is they do. They really like huge markets. And it doesn't matter if the market is global, or if it's a huge market inside a big country, for example, like our case. So we applied in 2017. We had something like 6 months of life at that time, and we had early traction at those days. We were kind of making the loans ourselves. We took paper from one side to the bank, and we were making something like 10 to 15, 20 loans every month. And YC liked that we were doing things manually, but things that don't scale, but we were discovering how the users behave, how the market worked, because none of us had any previous experience in the financial market or anything like that. So it was our way of learning and at the same time showing traction. And the after we were accepted, we just have a very nice experience during the batch, because we see kind of puts you in the mood of growing and pursuing goals. This is the most interesting part about YC, in my opinion. The magic is not in YC. The magic is inside the company, and YC just makes you look at that, look at what can make the next step for your company. So we had these meetings with YC partners where they ask about the previous 2 weeks and the next 2 weeks, what we were about to do. And it was kind of a close deadline that we were pursuing during the batch. And when we were about to get to demo day, we had something like 10 to 12x growth during the batch, and it was pretty nice to take the stage in demo day and talk about all this growth we had. So it is a great experience, and which is kind of different of other accelerators, because they don't provide office space for you to work. They just ask you to live with your co-founders and work at the same place. And we live together in Palo Alto for the 3 months, and it was work all day and cooking together and having a strong focus on the business. So this is very different from other acceleration programs we've been to, we've learned around, and it was very, very good to be all time focused on the progress of this startup. And this is the first thing we really enjoy in YC. The second one is the network. It's very good to have a good network to talk to. And for example, if I had any problems with email marketing, I could talk to any marketer inside the network, inside the founders network, and ask how they're making email marketing, like I did during the batch. So this is the kind of help they can provide. They have the network and the focus they lead to the startup, I guess, can make the progress that we see in YC companies. So I guess for BX Blue, it was kind of the big jump we've made of being a kind of a local startup and looking to our local business to a global vision of growth, and to using the best practices in the market.
Nice. And I think that's what I've heard from other YC founders as well, is that like the mentorship from not just from your mentors, but also from other companies in the batch, is really what makes it so valuable. So I'm curious what your biggest learning was from YC and the mentors that you had there.
I guess the main learning I had it's that you can talk to anyone in the planet, any specialist in any topic, but you always have to come back to your computer, put the ideas in the screen and make things happen. It doesn't matter if you have the best people just beside you, and you don't. You can do your own work. So I guess it's the main learning. Every night I just had to sit and take all the learnings I've got from all the network, all the other founders, or all the YC partners, and make things happen in my own startup. So making this day by day learnings into anything that really can make progress to the startup, I guess it was my main findings during the batch.
So I'm going to switch gears a little bit and talk about your growth channel, one of your main growth channels for BX Blue at the moment. And you mentioned it was SEO. I'm curious what you are doing in terms of SEO. And like, how did you come across that as one of your channels? And, you know, how did you scale that?
SEO has a great mission in our growth channels because it leads most of our users. And the best thing is the users that come from SEO for DXBlue, they have very good conversion rates in our sales funnel. And this the main reason we like this channel so much. At first, my partner, my co-founder, Guga, he had a lot of success with SEO in his previous startup. It was a cashback business, an online cashback business. And since the early days, he told me, oh, we should take a good look at SEO because it is huge. The potential is huge. And we just started doing it kind of simple. We just took the main searches people were doing in our business and started answering those questions. And we started doing that with a person in the team, and then we scaled that to a few writers that we trust, that we just asked them to write specific articles for specific topics. And after something like 6 months, we were kind of in good positions for most of the searches related to the market. And we just discovered that in our market, there's this thing where people just start searching for the topic before they actually go into purchase mode. So we started feeling both moments, the research moment and the purchase moment. And we kind of have this phase is very clear today in our platform. And after we were ranking for the best searches, we just started taking a deep look at the most performing ones and getting the page better for each of them. So we transformed our articles, a few of our articles, into landing pages where we could put more data, where we could put more information to the searches that we were being ranked for. And I guess SEO, you can take good results in short amount of time, but it's something that you need to do every day. Every day you need to open Google Search Console and take a look why people are coming to your website, and you just start finding things that you were not expecting. I have a good story about that. We just noted that a very great amount of our traffic was because we had a few articles teaching people how to take their paycheck stub, the document they get every month from their employer. And everyone that worked for the Brazilian government has to get into this website where they can take their payroll stub and their stub every month. So we started helping people get their payroll stub every month, making about that. And guess what? This is the same people that a few months later will be looking for loans. So we just try not to talk about the topic itself, but about surrounding topics of the market.
So one thing I heard was like you're trying to figure out what questions your potential customers are asking and, you know, what kind of things they're searching early on. Like what did you do to figure out those questions? Like, did you just talk to customers to see what they're asking, or did you use some tools to figure out which keywords they might be typing in like very early on?
We just started with the main searches, like the name of the loan we work, like the name of the main banks, and we just started taking those initial searches and looking for surrounding searches. We use a lot of SEMrush to do that.
SEMrush,
They are very good in evaluating the volume of those searches. Also, Google on platform has the volume on when you are making an AdWords campaign. You can take a look at the volume, and Zeitgeist or those other tools can be helpful as well. And We just used this combination. We started with SEMrush. We just put the main searches there, and it shows the surrounding searches. We just ranked that and took a look. Oh, to answer this question, I need to have this article or these two articles, and we started writing them.
That's so great. I love that. Like, how about the competition? You said you were talking about like looking up major banks in your area, and I'm guessing those banks' website will probably rank higher than yours, and that's why probably you focus on more long-term keywords regarding what people are asking for around that bank.
Yeah, that's true. Most of the banks have good ranks, but they have good ranks because they have huge websites with a lot of links and a lot of reputation, not because of the content itself.
So right.
We started writing content that answer questions, we started ranking sometimes upper than the banks. So this is our strategy. They don't answer questions like how do you get your paycheck stub in their website. They just make institutional websites with a lot of PDFs and stock photos everywhere.
That's so funny.
We just took a look at our users and try to think with their minds what they are trying to find. This is the strategy we've been using so far. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it's harder. It's hard to to get to first page or top positions. But I guess it's much more trying to predict the behavior of the searcher when you were writing the text.
Yeah, that's so true. I really like what you said there. Where like you're trying to get into the mind of your ideal customers and what they might be asking for, and then that's when you get into tools like SEMrush and then actually trying to verify if there's actually traffic for it. How long did it take for you to start seeing results from this? I know for a lot of folks, they're hesitant to invest in SEO because they're afraid that it'll take 3 to 6 months for them to see results. But I think you mentioned earlier that it took a lot quicker for you guys than you initially expected.
Yeah, we kind of had our first SEO customer in something like a month after we started writing. And I remember that day very well because we were not just expecting that something would come that fast. And the thing is, after you got ranked for a few keywords in the topic, if you just launch a new article, that article can get up to the top positions quick. So it's hard to start, but after you have the initial mass of articles of rankings, it's faster. So the first month we saw the first results, but I can say that after 3 to 6 months SEO started to be paying off.
Now you said massive articles. How many articles were you putting out a week at that point?
Okay, at that point we were launching something like 1 or 2 articles per week. Today we're
1 or 2 articles per day.
Yeah, at that time, today we're launching something like 10 articles a week to 20 articles a week. So it's not much more than that. I guess the articles right now are bigger and longer.
Right.
And we just started using videos as a complement of the strategy. So yeah, if we just produce an article that is a tutorial, we're just adding a video tutorial inside the article, because for most of search, Google just shows the video in the top positions of the SERP, the search engine's results page. And we're just adding, making other contents that can be part of our content strategy, but not text, just text itself.
Yeah, I'm finding that with video as well, because a lot of people are more, Google is like trying to prioritize video. Actually, a lot of social networks trying to prioritize video. How do you do your video? Do you have somebody talking, like just a talking head, and then you just plug in, or you embed the video on the article itself, or do you have some other strategy for video SEO?
We really like screencasts, because most of our articles, they are related to a website where the user can get any information or anything like that. So we really use screencasts, and we use balloons in the screen showing the actions. Sometimes a narration can make sense, but most of the time just balloons are working fine for our audience, for what we see. But we're just starting the video, so I can only say that they are a good connection to the text we've been producing so far. But I guess we need to be more diligent in the rhythm to see results in the following months.
You're uploading it on YouTube right now?
Yeah. We have a YouTube channel, and we upload the videos there.
Interesting. And you just embed it into the same article, right? So that people want to read, they'll read. If people want to watch it, they'll watch it.
Yeah. The same article, we just send them to our followers and put it inside the article. Sometimes we're considering launching videos only on YouTube and taking a look if they rank itself without the article to support it. But it's worth to do.
I'm curious how you were able to write so many articles early on, like one to two articles a day. Even for me is a lot. Like, did you have help? Were you the one just like banging out all those articles yourself, or did you have help?
We have a very good writer inside the team, and she has a unique kind of producing the articles. She took those questions we were talking about, the top questions of the market. For each of the questions, she writes something like 3 to 4 to 5 talking points, and she just started with this draft of sometimes a short text, something like 4 or 5 paragraphs, a good image on top of that. And then you can get back to those articles that are ranking and make they go deeper, make they are more valuable. So most of the time, you don't need to start with the full text, the full article, but just a brief of the topic. That's how we've come to writing that much of content that far.
Nice. No, that's great. Actually, that makes a lot of sense. But wow, kudos on her. That's a lot of articles to write.
Yeah, she's great.
So you have the content piece. A big part of SEO also is getting backlinks. Did you have any backlinks that you were trying to pull out, or you were just like really focused on trying to conquer SEO using just content?
The first year was all about writing our own content, and at the second year we just started making a link strategy. We are, I guess, posters in a few financial services.
Nice.
We do have partner websites which send us traffic, kind of affiliate websites, and those websites actually make links to us. So it's good in both ways. They send the clients, and it's a link anyway. This is the second part of our strategy. And we also have a tool to take a look at the web and see what people are talking about us and ask for links. This is the third strategy we've been using so far. And we're about to launch ebooks and other downloadable materials, so we can get links because of that.
You're heavily invested in SEO right now. Like, I'm curious at this moment, what chunk of your acquisition, your traffic is from organic? Is it like 50%, 60%, or is it like a big chunk of it would be something else?
Today, 40% is organic traffic. The other 40% is the partners we were talking about, websites that have content about financial services or other fintech startups that they don't work with the kind of loan we make, so they send us those clients. This is the other 40%, and the remaining 20% paid media, basically.
Okay, yeah, let's talk about that. Like, one of the things that I've heard in terms of SEO and accelerating that initially would be to run some paid ads, so like search ads for those keywords. Did you do any of that at all for like ranking on SEO fast?
We haven't done any search ads for our articles, but we did a lot of Facebook ads for our articles. We just started taking a look at what articles were ranking well, what articles were having a lot of traffic, and we just try to boost that, showing those articles to our Facebook audience of people that we know are target for our product. So if an article just ranks well for organic search, we just try to replicate that using ads for a very specific audience that we know that is related to our product. So we just try to take the success we had in organic to the very specific audience and bring people to the website. This is the main use we're making of paid media right now to reverberate those articles. But search, we've never done anything like AdWords for the articles or anything like that.
So that makes sense. You're trying to find out which ones are your best articles in terms of organic traffic.
You take the good articles and show to the right people.
So it's really interesting. That's good to hear that you're. So you're talking about like hyper specific focus on running your Facebook ads. Are you doing any lookalike audiences, or do you have any, are you filtering out by specific interests? Like, how are you doing that audience targeting on Facebook right now?
That's a cool question, because Facebook ads were the first channel we had traction, even before SEO, we were just talking. And the strategy that worked for us in Facebook was, we have partners, the bank we work with, they just sent us leads of potential clients they have that got loans with them in the past, something like that.
How did you get that the list from the banks? Like, you just asked for it?
They just sent us because they want us to reach out those people for them. It's kind of how the market works. The banks gives the partners the lead, so the partner can call people or mail people, and we just decided to not call them and email them, but to put those people in a Facebook custom audience and run ads for them. And it worked very good for us for a long time, because Facebook could find those people online, and we just showed them ads. And the match rate was very good because we had a lot of data for these people. And this is how Facebook ads worked for us for a long time.
And what did you offer? What was the offer on that ad? Like, did you offer them like a guide, or like to apply for a loan? Like, what did you, how did you entice them to click on your ad?
We showed them the articles we were just talking about.
So it's content focus. Okay.
Yeah. Also, we just make the regular offer, get a quote, and see how much you can get for if you need it. And we just make ads for different timings of the life cycle of the client. So maybe get a loan for paying your debits, or maybe get a loan to take a trip instead of getting debt. So we just try to split the moments and show specific ads for specific moments. But right. content was one of the uses we make for this audience.
Did you do any retargeting? Like, so after somebody reads a blog, then you know that they're kind of starting to get aware of you, and then you finally ask them for if they want to get a quote.
Today we make email retargeting. So after people fill our first form, we just email them sometimes, something like once a week. This has been great for us because we can recover people that were not with all the data or were not decided yet at the time they just filled out our first form. Sometimes we use SMS messages, especially to make users take the next action in the sales process. So SMS messages, texting people works fine for us as well. And we also do display ads in combination with those two. So if the user comes to our website and they just give up in the middle of the process, we just start showing retargeting ads for those people, generally on Facebook and Google Display Network.
I really like SMS because I know I've been playing around with Facebook chat and chatbots. The open rate is really high compared to email, right? Like people can't ignore a text, right?
Yeah, nobody mutes notifications for text messages.
I'm curious if there's anything that you tried early on that didn't work. I think you mentioned something to me that, you know, it was something that you tried, but you got blocked or something.
Yeah, the first traction channel we've used was called emailing people that work for Brazilian government.
And oh my!
Yeah, it was nice because we have a website where all the people who work for the government, they have their names there, and we just started emailing people first name dot last name at website.gov.br, and we did that something like 4 or 5 times, and each time we got deeper blocked until we just gave up on that. But it was nice to get our first clients. Actually, the first people who came to our website came from those emails.
Right.
Yeah, and they are really cold emails, but it worked for our first test to bring our first users. After that, we just decided that it was not a good idea to cold email people. and then we started with the Facebook ad strategy. But it was really nice to do not scaling things in the early days because they teach us a lot of lessons.
Yeah, no, that's so great because I had somebody ask me for advice once and like, how do I get traction without spending any money on advertising. I told them to find an email, like try to gather and prospect for emails and try to cold email. And I'm glad it worked out for you guys, right?
Yeah. And today emails is kind of our main retargeting channel. It was fun to look at the beginning of our work and see how we changed the use we make of email, and it was very nice to have those people sending us data and believing that we could help them find a good loan at that time.
Are there any other channels that you're testing out right now? Any other experiments that you're trying to see if those channels or acquisition strategies would work for BX Blue?
The main bet we're making right now is the video bet. As we were talking, we really believe that most of the channels are kind of putting video in a first position, as you can see in stories, as you can see all the platforms that just have stories right now. We really think that video is the next place we have to be good at, and so this is the bet we're making right now. But the mid to long term bet we really believe is making offline ads. We just want to be where people are, and we have people working at the same building at the same part of the city, and so we really want to be to be there as well, using offline to bring people online.
I'm a big fan of video as well. I've launched some Facebook video ads, and they've definitely, for me, that particular like awareness level stage, it's done a lot better than just images. So yep, I totally see the video piece gaining traction. I only have a few more questions left. I'm curious what the challenges has been for growing startup in Brazil, and I'm really curious because I don't have any experience like doing marketing in Brazil. I've done a little bit of ads in US, Canada, UK, but like what is the biggest challenge for you as CMO of BX Blue in growing a service in Brazil?
I guess most of the challenges we face in Brazil are not that different from challenges we have in other places, because most of the traction channels that work outside Brazil, like the US or Canada, work really fine here today. So making Facebook ads or making Google ads, we do have a lot of people on those platforms in Brazil, and you can for sure rely on making media on these platforms here. things like LinkedIn, Quora, and other ad networks, they don't have that much traction here in Brazil yet. But I guess the most popular ones we can really use with augment difference from what we would be doing in the US or Europe, Canada, and other places. But I guess the greatest challenge we have here in Brazil for entrepreneurs is capital. It's very hard to raise money for a startup in Brazil because we don't have that much venture capitalists here in Brazil that just take risk and make investments without being in that mood that the startup can fail or you have to get my money back to me. So that was the main reason we decided to raise money in the US for the company. And I guess it's the challenge for startups to raise here in Brazil. Capital is very hard to get. At the same time, this challenge just make us more resilient, and we need to look at traction. We need to look at making revenue at early days, which is good anyway. So I guess Brazil is growing very fast. We do have many markets here without that competition. So it has been a great journey having a startup here in Brazil.
BXBlue, it seems like it's gaining a lot of traction there.
A lot of challenges, but yeah, we're trying to get a step further each day.
Yeah, you guys are, I'm hearing good things from you guys. I'm wrapping up. I've probably taken up most of your time already that I've asked from you. Just last question. What are your advice to any marketers, maybe they're early or maybe mid level in their career? What would be some advice you'd have for those folks who are interested in entrepreneurship or even maybe interested in doing marketing for a tech startup?
Cool. The first thing I would say to a young marketer or someone who is getting into this market is to take a little bit of time to learn the basics of coding, especially databases and data analysis. This has been so helpful to me as I have my engineer background. This has been so helpful to me to make queries and make spreadsheets and connect different systems and use a lot of Zapier to make things when my tech team couldn't make it for us. So the basics of the tech stack, they are very, very valuable to anyone getting into marketing, into digital marketing. This is my first advice. The second advice I'll tell to anyone starting is that there is no silver bullet, there is no recipes to most of the problems that we face in marketing challenges for a startup. So what worked for a startup can probably won't work for another startup the same way it did to the one. So you need to take a look at about what people are doing, but you need to adapt it to your setup, and you have to take quick tests so you have a good clue of where your efforts will be valuable and where they want. Like email was for us in the early days. We just came to being blocked in every mail provider, so we decided not to make mail anymore for a long, and then come back to it in the future. And if I talk to anyone at the time, they would just say to me, "Oh, we're making a lot of results with email." So there's no silver bullet. You have to test it. This is my second advice. And this is the main important thing. Just to take a look at all the options you have, all the online channels you have as options, and always make quick tests to see what work and what won't work for your startup. And time is the most valuable resource we have. So take it. Using time wrong is always a good idea. So we really like to make quick tests.
Anyways, I want to just thank you for your time, Roberto. Where can people find you online? Any call to actions you have for my listeners right now?
Cool. You can follow me on Twitter, Roberto MB, It's my Twitter account. I just like to talk about marketing there, and it's I guess it's the best place to find me. And if you want to take a look at a Portuguese website, you can go to bxblue.com and see what we're making over there.
Yeah, they can go to Google, use Google Chrome to translate it, which I did.
Yeah.
All right, Roberto, thank you so much. I appreciate your time.
Thank you a lot, John. It was great to be on the show.
Hey, thanks for listening on that episode. I'm going to do something new today. This is something that I actually heard from the Side Hustle podcast. I'm going to share with you my 3 takeaways from this episode so that you can write that down or maybe just not listen to it at all. But for me, these are the 3 takeaways that I got from this episode. First, what Roberto did really well when starting his keyword research was he really got into the mind of the ideal customers to find out what they're asking for. I know whenever I think about SEO and keyword research, I kind of nerd out and start going to SEMrush and all these different tools like Ahrefs and keywords everywhere, and I just start looking and searching. What really matters is really getting into that mind of your customers and empathizing with what questions they're looking for. What are they searching for on Google, and what is their intention with those searches? That's the first step to actually doing keyword research and not really just focusing on the tools, which I kind of nerd out on sometimes. Second takeaway that for me is that do things that don't scale. I like how the first few customers, they would take their loan online and then they would physically walk over to the bank to fill out that loan. This reminds me of Tony Hsieh with Zappos. Whenever he got an order, he would go to like Foot Locker and then order that shoes because he doesn't have it. Roberto also sent cold emails. These are things that don't scale, but things that don't scale also often maximizes learning, which is what's most valuable in the early stage. And finally, add fuel to things that already work. I don't know about you, but I'm the kind of guy when I see something new and shiny, I can jump on that. For Roberto and his team, when they found articles that were performing well in terms of SEO, he started running ads for those. So really, sometimes growth doesn't mean always to finding the new channel. It also means fueling the things that are already working. So those are my 3 takeaways. Let me know what your takeaways are from this episode. As always, you can find me on Twitter, very active there, at RamleyJohn. You can also send me an email anytime, any comments, any hate mails. You can send it to me, actually not hate mails, at Ramley@growthmarketing.today. Feedback, comments, anything else, pictures, baby pictures, dog pictures, I don't care. Send it to me, I would reply back. If you're listening on here for a while now, please help me spread the word out by giving me a review on iTunes and sharing this to anyone who you might find this valuable. Other than that, thank you so much. I will see you next week, and as always, keep on growing.